I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Please be advised. This podcast contains explicit language and mature themes.
This is The Shadows. Episode 3. Sweater.
These young people whirling around, confused and sick over the question of love. They don't even know what love is. Love is being there every day to make someone's life a little easier, to keep someone warm, to hold them through the night, to provide a barrier for them between their tender skin and the brutal winds of the cruel city. By giving and caring for, we feel we become a part of. And in becoming a part of, we find the antidote for the greatest tragedy each human starts his life with: the separation from mother. We begin life two in one, a life inside of a life, two souls in one body. And then we're alone. Well, in my case, it's the fracturing into 1,000 different shapes, being contorted and violently twisted up into 1,000 different shapes until I was finally developed with the utmost of craftsmanship into the perfect form. In my case, it was that cruel blade that ripped me away from my original wear, Gladys. This is the beginning. Buckle up, kiddos. It all started on a train. I knew I was on a train because even through the muffled sounds coming through the leather casing into which I was neatly folded, I could hear the whir of the engine and the click-click of the ticket collector's hole punch. I think most people don't realize how good a sweater's hearing really is. When I'm on a wearer, I can hear almost everything. Also, I'm blind. I love podcasts. They really help pass the time. The last 10 years, yes, 10, I have belonged to one Devin Lovesmith. From what I understand on this day, Devin and I were on a business trip. I later came to learn that the trip was in Newfoundland.
You okay?
It's cold in here.
Yeah.
Do you find?
They definitely have the AC.
It's way too high.
Yeah.
I was sitting in his bag, desperate to get out of there, desperate for him to be chilly enough to wear me, when all of a sudden, his hand reached in, pulled me out.
Do you want my sweater?
Suddenly, there I was, a sweater offered to a stranger on the train. She squirms a bit, making sure the contents of her bag are hidden from view, and I hear another voice.
What's up, girl?
Incidentally, she has her own sweater.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah?
That'd be so nice.
I'm really hot. I have a built-in sweater
on my
body.
Wow, thank you so much.
Yeah.
They continue to sit in silence, her smiling, him trying not to, looking out the window. She wonders if he was just being polite. He seems like a very polite man. He wonders if she was just being polite. Women accept unwanted gifts from men out of politeness all the time. They are both sweating. She is waiting patiently for the appropriate time to say something. An hour passes before that happens, but it does.
Are you wearing nail polish?
I'm wearing nail polish, yes.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's a bit faded.
That's so lovely.
Thank you.
Do you play an instrument?
Well, I used to. Yeah, I play.
What is it? Let me see.
So I'll play keyboard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this before.
I used to play it a lot more. Now, I don't know why I even have it with me right now. I mean, I guess I kind of take it around
it
hoping that
like,
I get it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, thanks.
I feel like this one that I saw, did you ever play in the subway ever? Like, did you ever have a
I don't.
Like a sailor outfit?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Okay. What's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
I'm Devin.
You're Devin.
Yeah.
I can see, I see that you have a ring.
Mm-hmm.
You're married?
Yeah.
Mm.
I love my wife.
Yeah.
But it's there's different kinds of love.
Mm.
And there's love that sustains, and there's love that excites. And I think we had a love that excites. Not often, but sometimes. Sometimes you'll meet someone and you get that feeling. Like, I feel like, you know, like kind of like now, that feeling of excitement.
You're really easy to be around. I guess I feel like I'm usually that person where people are like disarmed by my like ability to be comfortable really quickly. I've never met somebody who also has that.
Hmm.
It's quite fun.
It's one of my fears though.
Why?
There's a scene in, I like musicals. Do you like musicals?
I love musicals.
So do you know this musical, Funny Girl?
Of course.
Yeah. So there's a scene, the first scene when she just has her big Broadway debut. She goes back to the Jewish part of Manhattan and her family's throwing her this big party to celebrate the fact that she has her Broadway debut, and Omar Sharif's character comes and he's an aristocrat and he's in this very low income Jewish setting. But he's so suave, he's so elegant and debonair. And at one point there's all the boobies, all the grandmas are all playing poker. And he just becomes friends with them and he's playing poker. Barbara Streisand's mother's character is watching him. And she goes, I think if you're a stranger, you should act a little strange. Sometimes it's not your place to feel comfortable. And
this is a free bus.
So,
and then, of course, the end.
Oh my God, we're here.
Yeah.
There are certain kinds of goodbyes. This is that certain kind. The kind where two bodies express a language that they can't find words for. And instead, they talk pure nonsense.
I've gotta run some errands.
Searching for a reason to say some things out loud and not quick-witted enough to come up with anything.
Look, your suitcase looks heavy.
I was just
away
from...
Are you going to be okay to carry it?
Yeah. I think I'll go when I get off of the train. Oh, boy.
Can we hug?
Yeah.
Okay.
I could feel them. Their hearts only centimeters away from each other, like they were trying to get them to pump in the same rhythm. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. One of them is left inhaling, trying to keep the smell of her so that he can remember every single detail of it. And the other of them is left reluctantly removing an object that has become very precious to her.
Oh, I guess your sweater.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's having a really hard time letting me go.
It's okay. You know, yeah, you should keep it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I want you to have it.
Okay.
And then they're on two different airplanes in opposite directions, locking back into life paths that have no reason to ever cross again. She nestles her nose into my neck. She breathes him in until her nose becomes accustomed to the smell and smells like nothing at all. The lending of a sweater. A chivalrous act as old as the 1950s. Shirt off one's own back and so on. But we all know that this is more than shirt off one's own back. The lending of a sweater is a sacred message, after all. Much more than just, I want you to be comfortable. It says, I want to put my arm around you, but I'm too afraid of what that might mean. It says, I want to be spread across your bare skin. And as for me, There are certain kinds of things a sweater spends its life dreaming about. For in the course of such a gesture, we have the chance to occupy the most honored and coveted position in the sweater kingdom. Favorite. The best favorites are together until death and then passed down through the next generations.
Mom said I could have sweater when she dies.
No! Mom said I could have sweater when she dies! Mom!
But one must be extremely careful because one can also become the arch opposite of favorite. One can become associated with a bad memory. And then you're vulnerable to any variety of truly awful fates. Burning, shredding, a sweater rack at Value Village in the middle of summer, no air conditioning or prospect of adoption. Or simply a garbage truck. I wonder what my new home will be like. If it will have my favorite type of wooden hanger with the broad shoulders. That would be nice. The floor is a dusty clothing metropolis.
Oh my God.
I can see that the situation here is dire. I meet a pair of jeans named...
Hi! Welcome! Welcome to the orientation. My name is Jean Simmons. Not to be confused with G-E-N-E Simmons. Ah! Wanna rock and roll all night! Yeah, not that guy. J-E-A-N.
How's it going? I'm back.
Anyway, okay, let me show you around. Give you the tour.
Basically, Jean tells me that Caitlin is a slob, bless her heart. And there are only a few residential areas available for clothing here. One, scrunched and hiding in the corner of bed sheets.
That's one option.
Two, scattered across the floor.
You can see just over here. Then there's, this is my personal favorite.
Three, which is the crevice.
Between the bed and the wall. This is where we hold our monthly speakeasy, which you're invited to, of course.
And four, the brown tickle trunk.
It's kind of for, like, the unfavorites. Lots of wood chips, spider poop, moth egg, you know, the type of thing. Just very mothy. Yeah, usually
Jean says that the clothes that go to the tickle trunk are out of rotation and usually never seen again because they become tangled in a big amorphous pile that Caitlin doesn't have the time nor energy nor patience to untangle. And the clothes become doomed to permanent wrinklage and no steamer can puff out. They already tried on Jean's cousin Gina.
Just don't even get me started. Like, my cousin Gina went in there once. God, the poor woman. Should we just try this thing with the kettle? And then, like, we tried to pour it over her. It was just permanent.
Just
wrinkle,
as I begin to panic, like cool, nice, Caitlin reaches cool, for me.
Oh, okay, see you later. Welcome to Mermaid Palace. I'm so glad you're here. If you need me, I'm just in the crevice.
Relief. She brushes her lips against my neck, squeezes a little. She gives me a kiss. Mm-hmm. I've never been kissed before. There was a small thing that worried me about my chance of becoming favorite. It seemed that this woman already had a love.
I want to say I love you, but I feel like it's too soon.
I think it might be too soon.
I know.
Dear Caitlin, hi. After meeting you on the train, I cried all the way home. It's Devin from the train, by the way. And once I was home, I sat in front of the computer typing and untyping this email to you. Then I realized I didn't even have your email, and so I searched for the small amount of things I know about you online. Caitlin, Montreal, puppetry, puppeteer, puppet, puppeting, mermaid, subway, pretty... Until I finally found your email address. And the first email I wrote to you went like this. Subject, sweater. Dear Caitlin, in the end, I missed my sweater quite a bit and I'm going to need it back immediately. When can we arrange for the exchange? After I deleted that, I began to look for apartments in Montreal. There are some off of Paramount Park that are really not so bad. Then I tried to forget I found your email at all, and I went to bed, and then I woke up in the morning, and I went straight to my computer and began to write to you, because I realized I need to tell you that I don't miss the sweater at all. I miss you. I miss you. XOXO, Devin. P.S. What if we got an apartment on the Upper West Side of Montreux by Paramount Park, and we stayed there together for a week every year until we die? Deal?
November 26th, 4:49 p.m. I don't have any words, except I've been saying your name under my breath while walking down the street to get coffee.
November 27th, 3:55 a.m. I hope this reaches you in your dreams. I kept my phone under my pillow, hoping to hear from you.
Devin. Devin, Devin, Devin. This was the phrase of the day.
Caitlin, 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 Caitlin.
I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. You understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
November 29th, 3:47 p.m.
Lying in bed with a lover in the afternoon. My favorite activity. Often the lover is just the sunshine pouring through my bedroom window. Today, it's the sweater.
I can't believe you're actually real. Maybe you're not real, but you share my tendency to living in the intersection between real and unreal, so therefore, our unreal world feels like it is indeed real.
When I was a small boy, I had serious problems with knowing what was fantasy and what was reality. Well, I didn't have a problem, but I could disappear into these vivid daydreams, and I had to keep myself from entering. P.S. Emily is at a party. I'm thinking about calling you later when Cooper is asleep. Scared. November 29, 11:33 a.m. I wrote a song about you. There were only two words in the lyrics.
Caitlin. Caitlin. Pressed. Caitlin. Caitlin.
Do, do, do.
What are you humming?
What if I write the music for your next puppet play?
Yes! The entire score, the brown electric piano.
Yes. November 30th, 5:30 a.m.
Writing love letters.
Is your marriage open?
No.
December 2nd, 9:56 p.m. Sweater, day 9. It's me with the sweater on.
I love you.
I feel like the lack of transparency in your situation is, it doesn't really feel good.
December 1, 7:22
The lack of transparency in my situation.
Feels so good to say everything at once. I'm so glad you said what I wanted to say but didn't. I love you, Devin.
It only took 6 days. 6 days, 34 emails, and a sweater.
I love you, Devin.
They both believed that they meant it, too. Did that make it true?
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
There are favorites, and then there are favorites. But I dare say that this woman showed a favoritism never before seen by any sweater anywhere in the world.
Good night,
she takes sweater. Me to bed with her and sleeps with me through the night.
Good night, Kate.
She takes me to the breakfast table.
Caitlin, you got egg all over your sweater. Oh.
She takes me home to meet her parents. Nervous.
Just legit.
Well, like, Dad said it was tempting.
Oh, yours was tempting.
Dad said it was tempting.
Not at the time. Or afterward.
She takes me to a sweaty dance club, and even though it's completely inappropriate for me to be there, she keeps me with her. I have become disgusting. Filthy, really. Full of 1,000 kinds of dirt. But each different kind of dirt is a memory from a moment we shared. I cherished the splotch of red paint that now scars my shoulder. I cherished the toothpaste now encrusted on my right breast. The tomato sauce is almost gone to the naked eye, but the oils are still there, and they've probably changed those fibers forever. There are 1,000 different kinds of sweat, tears, saliva, snot, and I've begun to change shape. I'm not the same young sweater I used to be. The knit at my breast has stretched so that when she's not there, it hangs empty in the shape of her. But the thing that shocks me again and again...
What?
Do you want to do laundry?
No. Do you like doing laundry as a duo?
I kind of like doing your laundry.
What?
I do.
Is how often she wears me when she is with her lover.
It's just kind of a thing for me. Like if I'm sleeping with somebody, I don't sleep with other people, so...
I have not at any point observed her sharing my special origin story with her lover.
I like your sweater.
Thanks. It's my new favorite.
I wonder if the secret she's keeping gives her pleasure or if she doesn't think twice about it.
Does that mean I'm your girlfriend?
Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah, I do. Definitely.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd feel weird about about boyfriend as a title.
Oh.
I don't know why. Just feels weird to say. I guess it sort of like connotes a certain system of two people being in relation to one another that I've always been really critical of.
But girlfriend doesn't.
But somehow girlfriend feels fucking great. My boyfriend. My boyfriend, Charlie.
It's like this thing that you put out into the world, you know, it's like a declaration.
I have a person.
I have a person. I have a boyfriend.
I have a boyfriend.
I will not defile this sacred trust.
I will not defile the sacred trust.
Because there is a force field.
There's a force field. It's invisible, but you can feel it. I like that.
Hey, KP. Big news. I just bought a ticket to fly in a plane to MY. I'm coming to visit you. I cannot wait to hold you and kiss you and talk with you and listen to you.
This is my place. Let's chill here for a bit, and then I'll walk you to your Airbnb later.
I can't believe I'm here.
I know. Should I take it off?
No.
No?
No, sweater stays on.
Okay. I gotta watch me. Watch my face.
I think you can love someone, but recognize you can't live with someone.
But how do you know until you try?
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
I want to try with you.
I want to try with you too. Oh, sweater.
I feel like it was made for you. When I had it, it didn't feel right. I think it's happier with you.
I think so too. You're never getting it back, so. Forever in sweater.
Forever sweater.
Forever sweater.
Oh my gosh.
Sweaters last forever. Right?
She loves me.
I've become viscerally aware of every fiber of my being.
She loves me.
Every molecule feels alive, awake, and I feel beautiful. I feel like anything is possible. I become very attached to this feeling. I want it to last forever, and of course I expect it to, because I can no longer imagine my life without it.
She loves me.
Caitlin Prest the Montranian whose sexuality is sweater.
Yes, I love sweater, and I'm currently fighting for our right to marry.
Sex experts are calling it sweater-ophilia.
I love you, sweater.
But, of course, every once in a while I come to my senses and I think to myself, sweater, you are nothing more than an article of clothing, and even though it's true that one night your corrugated patterns became drenched with not sweat nor tears but cum, she's in love with the man you remind her of. Not you.
I love you, Devin.
But then I ask, what's the difference? And then, maybe this was a little pompous of me, but I began to believe that she didn't love the man at all. She loved the story. And as Devin lived an overly expensive airplane ride away, I was the physical embodiment of that story. And physical embodiment was very important to Caitlin.
Want to hang out today?
Oh, no, 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 I can't hang out tonight. It's date night with sweater. Oh, every Friday is date night with sweater.
Come to me, honey, you dirty turtleneck. Come on. Gonna unravel you. I'm gonna unravel you thread by thread. You like that? Don't you like that?
Among the other less meaningful articles of clothing in the dark and institutional metal chamber, our memories dissolve in the suds, the smells, the crumbs, the many different types of dried liquids, the things we'd both come to cherish. She is choosing to forget our time together, choosing to forget the ways that I'm different. She forgot one very, very important way. Hang dry only.
Please, Caitlin, no!
Sometimes, to pass the time, I count the number of stitches on my arms. I marvel at the memory of a factory that once put all the stitches together. I count the holes that she has created in my fabric. I look at stains and wonder how it was so impossible for her to eat properly. I wonder where the hole in the shoulder came from. I wonder how her skin felt. I remember this. And then I count some more and try to imagine the fabric that's needed to create a piece like me. And then I think of how many pieces of sweater there are like me all over the world. Are we all out of rotation? Are we all lost? Forever? There are certain things that I now know. I know how the feet of the moths feel as they walk over me. I know the feeling of being eaten.
This was episode 3 of The Shadows. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Shadows CBC.
You can follow the real life mermaid and human Caitlin Prest at Caitlin Prest. On Instagram, there are pictures of Moncheron, which is, if you've never been there, I mean, you gotta go there. It's a beautiful city. It's close to New York. It's on the border. And wonderful weirdos live there. This episode was written by Caitlin Prest with help from Sharon Mashihi, that's me, and Phoebe Wang. It was directed by Caitlin Prest, production and sound design from Phoebe. Now, a lot of you might think that the voice you just heard was a real, actual sweater talking, but it wasn't. It was an actor named Phoebe Wang, who's also our senior producer. She had to be an understudy to first just a t-shirt and then a turtleneck and finally a sweater until she finally figured out how to play this fucking role in a real way. Johnny Spence played Devin, Mitchell Akiyama was Charlie, and Veronica Simmons appeared as Jean, J-E-A-N, Simmons. You also heard Mac Cameron, Zakiya Gibbons, Boom Salvador, and Caitlin's real-life sister, Natalie, Nada Poo Poo, Prest. If you like this show, please remember to review us on iTunes. That helps other people find us and, you know, it's good for all of our careers and stuff, which is important. Our team includes Caitlin Prest, director, Phoebe Wang, senior producer, Sharon Mashihi, editor, Yasmin Maturin, associate producer, Olivia Pasquarelli, digital producer, Shani Aviram, composer and associate sound designer. Arif Nourani is our executive producer. Tanya Springer is senior producer of CBC Podcasts. And Leslie Merklinger is senior director of audio innovation. Our advisory board is Dylan Ghosh, Mooj, unrealistically high standard Zadie, and the great audio fiction storyteller, Jonathan Mitchell. Jonathan is a radio genius in his own right, and you should totally check out his fiction show, The Truth. Special thanks to Greg Wong and Ray Dooley. Does she mind when we... I don't know. Anyway, Nada Poo Poo, that's what we call her.